courage. His words bring out the best in his learners. They rise above what they thought was their potential because he speaks words of encouragement into their lives. And I also told you then how Andrew's words helped me through my one and only marathon which I ran. Words are powerful. Words can do that. And so we choose our words carefully. We use words that build others up according to these needs. We use words to benefit those who listen. And this applies to everyone with whom we live. Be it a husband, be it a wife, be it our children, our parents. We use words carefully with people with whom we play, with people with whom we work, people who work for us, people for whom we work, anyone with whom we have contact. We give them our words as gifts. It really is so easy to joke around. I'm so guilty of that. It just kind of comes naturally before I think about it. Anyone can joke about somebody's efforts. Often, though, that person is left wondering, were they joking? Or was it just a criticism poorly disguised as a joke? But it is the thoughtful person who uses words to build up, leaving the person with whom they've been speaking glad that they've put in the effort, leaving that person encouraged to remain doing what they're doing. In our text, Paul is asking us to use our words as gifts. All of us, all our words, in all of our relationships. Now, today, as I want you to do every time I preach, I want you to take seriously what I'm going to say. And I want you to take what I say and apply it to all relationships. But today is a special day. Today we have dedicated a baby. And so my focus today is our responsibility with words to our children. As I say, it applies in all relationships, but we're talking about our children particularly. And our use of words in our children's lives start with a name. The fact that we name our child, the fact that we name our child is significant. The fact that they have a name, the fact that it's not, hey, you do this, or doofus, come here. We dignify our child with a personal name. Carmen, Sipu, Justin, Raj, Emma, Peter. We looked at our child and we named them. We in fact looked at Amy and named her something else. And 2 days later we went back and scratched it dead on the little card there and put another name because we didn't think that name suited her. It was a thoughtful process when we named our children. Sometimes the names we give our children, it's an aspirational name. We might know someone with that name and we're hoping that it's going to have a positive connotation for our child also. We might give them a biblical name, and that is a name also which we hope will be aspirational. But the fact that we name our children means that we believe the best for our child. I remember at Stellenbosch we had beggars at our door. Every day we had several beggars at our door, and we got to know them after a while. And this one beggar particularly came around regularly. He was probably the most sorry specimen of humanity that I've ever seen. He was often drunk. He was emaciated. He smelt, there's a smell about meth mixed with just bodily dirt, which is absolutely horrendous. And he used to come. This one arm was lame. It kind of hung around like this from a previous stabbing that he had experienced. And then I said to him, I said, what is your name? And he answered me, even with some pride. He said, my name is Piet. Piet van Wyk. My name is Piet. Piet van Wyk. And my heart broke. He was named as a baby. Someone had believed in him enough to name him. A child's name dignifies that child. Today we have parents who name their baby. They named him lovingly and hopefully and thoughtfully. they named him Benjamin. Now, I'm not sure, I haven't spoken to them why they chose that particular name, but what I do know that it wasn't a random name. It was a name chosen in love with thoughtfulness. And as it happens, it is also a significant name in the Bible. Benjamin, the second son of Jacob and Rachel. How did the second son of Jacob and Rachel come to be named Benjamin? Well, there's a story behind in the naming of Benjamin. Rachel, his mother, was pregnant. And like Mary, Jesus' mother, who would walk those same roads 1,500 years later, like Mary, Rachel was on the move during her pregnancy. Rachel wasn't heading for Bethlehem, as Mary was, but she was heading for the Bethlehem area. Unlike Mary, Rachel didn't arrive at her destination. Before Rachel got there, she went into labor, and sadly, she died giving birth to this child. But before she died, she named him. She named him Ben-Oni. If you see Ben like that, it means the son of. That's what Ben means in the Hebrew. The son of, Ben-Oni, the son of mourning, the son of sorrow. She named this boy before she died. She wanted him to be named Ben-Oni. She wanted him to carry her emotion at his death, at his birth, into his life. And so she named him Ben-Oni, son of sorrow. When Jacob, her husband, came on the scene, he changed the name. He did not want his son, the son of his favorite wife. He did not want the son to carry the name reminding him of sorrow. No, not Ben-Oni, son of sorrow. You will call him Ben-Yamin. Ben-Yamin, son of my right hand. The right hand is the hand of significance. You will be called Ben-Yamin, for you will be the son of my right hand. And so whenever Jacob called his son, it would not be an association with sorrow. He wouldn't be reminding his son about his mother who had died. He would not be causing feelings of guilt in his son. After all, she died giving birth to him. No, to call his son would be to affirm his son. You are my son. My son on my right hand, you are important to me. Benjamin, aspiration, not guilt, would be associated with his son's name. Of course, a name isn't the only means we have to affirm our children. The name certainly wasn't the only thing that Jacob used to affirm Benjamin. And so we move on in their lives. And we came to this time, we read about it in Genesis, when Jacob has called all his sons before him, and he's speaking words over his sons. He's blessing them. And as you read that, you'll find that for some of the sons, he wasn't speaking good words into their lives. For some of the sons, the words, he simply confirmed what was their sad reality, but not for Benjamin. Jacob has aspirational words for Benjamin, son of his right hand. And he says to Benjamin, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning, he will devour his prey. In the evening, he divides the plunder. Now, maybe we read that and we wouldn't want to see those words literally fulfilled in our child. And I'm pretty sure that Bronwyn and Stu don't want to see it fulfilled literally in their little Benjamin. But in those days, they were good words. He was saying, Benjamin, you are strong and daring. Benjamin, you will be victorious over the enemy. Jacob is speaking words of aspiration into Benjamin's life. Words of affirmation. Words which give hope. Words which give courage. Words which are from God. Do we speak good, affirming, encouraging words into the lives of our children? Now, the words Jacob spoke into Benjamin's life were words which would need to be literally true in Israel's future history. You see, Jacob's 12 sons went on to become the 12 patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Jacob. Each tribe was named after one of the sons who was their patriarch. And God would need the tribe of Benjamin to be the tribe at the right hand of God. He would need the tribe of Benjamin to be the ravenous and victorious wolf, strong and daring. God would need a tribe who lived the words spoken by a father into the life of a son who became the patriarch of that tribe. You see, dark days lay ahead. Days when, for the sake of the children of Israel, God would need a ravenous and a victorious wolf. But Jacob had spoken the good words into the life of his son Benjamin. But words for Jacob, words for Benjamin were not over yet. The children of Israel were freed from slavery in Egypt. They had gone on their desert wanderings, and now they had reached the point when they were about to cross over the River Jordan into the promised land. And Moses calls the 12 tribes together because he's got words to speak into the lives of those tribes, and he has a special word for the tribe of Benjamin. And this is the words that God gave Moses to speak about the tribe of Benjamin. He says, about Benjamin, he said, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long. And the one the Lord loves, talking about Benjamin, rests between his shoulders. Precious, precious words, God words, words which were a gift to Benjamin. Oh, that we would speak God words into the lives of our children. Look at that phrase, rests between his shoulders. In South Africa, a familiar picture. A baby secure on its mother's back. Here are the words Moses speaks into Benjamin's collective life, the life of the tribe. And he says, let the beloved of the Lord, referring to Benjamin, remain secure in the Lord because the Lord shields him. Let the one the Lord loves, Benjamin, snuggle into the security of the Lord's back. Once again, words of affirmation. Words of what is possible. Words of what God promises for all of us. Moses spoke those words. He spoke them into the life of Benjamin. And again I say, let us speak God words to our children. And let us do it especially when they are young, when they listen without filtering. But let me hasten to add that not filtering also means that the horrible words we speak to them, they just absorb them as well without filtering them and can scar our children. Children don't filter the words, they just take them in. And while they like that, let us speak God words into the life of our children. Let us speak God's words into the life of our children when they get older. Because while they may not seem to be drinking them in as they used to, nevertheless, they hear. And the words will be there, part of our children. Let us speak God words to our children. Let us use our words as gifts to our children. Let us give our wives, our husbands, our words as gifts. How easy to overlook them. I mean, they're always there, right? They know you love them, right? They must know you value them, right? Speak them. Speak the words often. We all need to hear those words. Benjamin, son of my right hand, remind Benjamin about that often. Benjamin, courageous, victorious, remind him about that often. Benjamin, beloved of the Father, dwelling securely in the Father's back, remind him about that often. What about names that do not have those connotations? It doesn't matter. What does matter is that we speak into the lives of our children. Regardless of their name, we speak words of hope. We speak words of encouragement. We speak words of affirmation. We speak words of aspiration. But I'm sure somebody's sitting here thinking, what about it when I don't find much to affirm in the life of my child? What do I do? Just lie? Are we to be false? Of course not. We can still speak good words. Words encouraging the child, discouraging the behavior. It might take more thought, but we can do it. If the child doesn't perform as you think it can perform, then rather than say you failed, you can talk to the child about its potential. Give examples of where you've seen potential and aspire them to that potential. Or if they've done something badly, rather than say, you failed, you stupid, rather sit down and talk about a different way of doing it. We can still speak words that build up, words that help, without affirming the wrong behavior, but affirms the child. It's worth the effort. Of course, we cannot talk about names without talking about Jesus. Do you remember why Jesus was given his name? Do you remember how Joseph, Jesus' father, had been instructed to name the boy? Jesus means the Lord saves. Name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I guess in a sense, Jesus was an aspirational name. It was a name that kept his father's mission in front of him. Jesus, you will save your people from their sins. We read that Mary, Jesus' mother, took note of things that happened in Jesus' life. We read that she treasured these things in her heart. Did she talk to her son about them? Did she affirm Jesus? We don't know, but Jesus' heavenly father did. We know that for sure. At Jesus' baptism, Jesus went down into the water. As he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came. And most important, there was the voice of his Father from heaven. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am very pleased. The Father spoke good words into the life of his Son Jesus. Surely, that is a model for us. Jesus' father continued to speak words of encouragement, words of aspiration, words of recognition into Jesus' life. And the father continues to be our model. Listen to the father speaking to Israel. He says to Israel, but now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I called you by name. You are mine. That's how the Father has always been. He calls us by name. In another place, he tells us that the very hairs on our head are numbered. Matthew 10, 29-31. He knows our name. The Father knows our name. He knows intimate details of our lives. And using our name, the Father continues to speak good words into our lives. Did you know that? Well, here are some examples of how he speaks his words into our lives. I knew you before you were conceived, he tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5. I chose you when I planned creation, Ephesians 1, 11, and 12. You are not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book, Psalm 139. It is my desire to lavish my love on you simply because you are my child and I'm your father, 1 John 3:1. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am your perfect father, Matthew 7:11. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope because I love you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 29:11. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand of the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing, the Father's words to us. I will never stop doing good for you. Every time we read Scripture, if We are listening. We can hear the Father speak words into our lives. Words of hope, words of affirmation, words of inspiration, words of aspiration, words of challenge, words giving direction. The Father, our Heavenly Father, is our model. He has called us by name. He uses His words as gifts, gifts to us to build us up. Read His word. Listen to His word. Be built up. And use your words to build others up, especially your children, but really to build up everyone with whom you have contact. And don't forget to allow God to use others in your life to build you up as well. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, each one of us is able to, in some way, communicate. And Lord, whatever that form of communication is, help us to not only honor You with it, but to be Your instrument to build others up. Oh God, forgive me for the ease with which I will joke, and so often not in the best of taste, leaving people confused as to what I have actually said. Help us, Lord, to use our words as gifts. Gifts to the one to whom we talk. And Father, whilst we do pray for all our communication, Lord, when we have a young child, our words have such enormous potential as to how that child will turn out. Confident, secure, knowing he or she is loved, or insecure, wondering whether they will make it, all because of our words. Help us, Lord, to use our words as gifts. Thank You for the gift of Your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen.